It's time for Sounding Off with Phil Goff.
Morena, Mayor Phil Goff, how are you this morning?
Ah, to Marie, Rachel. I am good, except there was a crash on the motorway and it took a long time to get in, but that's a pretty common problem, unfortunately.
It is indeed. We're going to touch base a little bit on what's happening with the Papatoetoe tornado recovery at the moment. We're also going to talk a wee bit about Dome Valley landfill, which has been a contentious issue. But let's start with COVID and what's going on. Bit strange for it to not be an Auckland alert level situation. I think a lot of people have been feeling, the sort of ghost of that hanging around. It has been a good reminder about how we're not out of the woods by any means. And now we're seeing the new Delta variant having a bit of a surge over in Australia, which is certainly worrying. We've got the travel bubble suspended at the moment. That's not great for the tourism economy here in Auckland especially, but I think nobody is thinking we should have that bubble open at the moment. Cabinet is going to be looking at that today. Do you think it should stay closed?
Yeah, look, I'd err on the side of caution, I think. It's the Delta variant, and that's highly contagious. I think all of us have got a bit of a sense that we've dodged the bullet yet again. It was surprising this wasn't Auckland. I guess Wellington's getting a bit of a feel for how it's felt like for us in Auckland a couple of times. It does have an impact, and I've heard the people in the hospitality industry complaining about it, and I understand their position, but when you get this, we know from experience that you've got to take those measures, and the more we take those measures early and restrict it, the sooner we can get the recovery we want for the sectors that have been affected. It is a wake-up call and a reminder for us. We're human beings, and we get really damn complacent about things like using the COVID app, from time to time I forget, most of the time I don't, but most of the time, as I'm checking in somewhere, there's a dozen people walk by without worrying about it. Well, the government is now looking, particularly if you get to alert level two, should wearing masks in certain circumstances be compulsory? Should using the app be compulsory? And, I think probably the experts would say, yeah, we've got to get to that point. If you don't make it compulsory under a certain, level of alert, then people don't do it and then everybody is put at risk. So, yeah, we feel for the Australians and we feel a bit for the Wellingtonians. And we're just, I'm hugely relieved that we haven't had cases show up in Wellington from the person that visited here. Let's take the opportunity to drop our complacency and to gear up our effort to make sure that it's not just good luck we miss out on that, but it's good practice as well.
One of the other things that the government has also been discussing is mandatory mask wearing at level two and higher in high risk situations, they're calling it. That's talking about places like bars and restaurants. That's going to have a big impact potentially on those industries. Have you been having any conversations with people in that hospitality space in Auckland around what their thoughts are on this?
Well, it hasn't come up largely because it hasn't affected Auckland this time. I suspect, there'll be a mixture of opinions, but my view is you've just got to follow the evidence. You've got to follow the scientific advice. It's served us well so far. Everybody's had a bit of a grizzle from time to time about this or that, but by and large, we're doing better than anywhere else. And if we want to keep doing better, then we've got to follow that advice. So, I think the government's come to the party in Wellington with the scheme they've got in place for the disruption that might have caused if you lose more than 30% of your income. So I think that's appropriate. But it's the same with Australia. If I hop on a plane and go to Australia, and I have been invited to a conference over there in September that people are paying for me to go over and speak at a conference, I know that the risk I take is that if something happens, I'll be stuck there. And if something happens really bad, I might have to quarantine when I come home. Now, I've got to weigh that up. But I can't then turn around and say to government, please evacuate me, because this is really inconvenient. It is inconvenient, and it's quite hurtful to some people who are separated from their loved ones. But we go into these things with our eyes open. We make that decision. We take that risk, and that the risk ends up. We carry it, and probably that's appropriate.
Well, let's talk a bit about the Dome Valley landfill now, which has been approved to go ahead. This has been a hugely contentious issue, particularly for iwi in the area. Ngāti Manuhiri and also Ngāti Whātua have been particularly vocal in their concerns around this landfill. We do need another landfill in Auckland, but there are some major issues potentially with this particular site. This is something that we've seen come up a few times now about the way that iwi is perhaps brought into the process of having these resource management conversations. Do you think we need to be overhauling? We've talked broadly about overhauling the Resource Management Act, but how these initial chats between resource consent processes and local interest groups actually happen?
Yeah, well, I've got no evidence in front of me to suggest that proper processes weren't followed, and that was true in the topic we talked about with Kennedy Point last week, and that was upheld by.
I guess what I'm saying is not about if a proper process was followed or not, but if that process that currently is in place is effective or is working in the right way to make sure that the right interest groups are being approached properly, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Look, I'd think that would be part of the overall Resource Management Act upgrade, update, replacement, call it what we will. In this case, there is a proper process. We deliberately separate this from being a political decision. And look, let me just say to the people that are concerned about it in the Dome Valley, yeah, look, I understand. Nobody wants a landfill in their backyard. But as you said before, there's got to be somewhere where it goes while we work to have 100% recycling. We're not at that point yet, so we still need a landfill. But this followed a process where you had five independent commissioners. They heard nearly 1,000 submissions. They weighed it up. Auckland planners and specialists work separately from the political wing. We don't tell them what to say, and it wouldn't be appropriate, actually, for us to tell an expert in ecology that they should come to this decision or that decision. They've got to use their expertise objectively and independently to come up with it. Originally, the Auckland planner's report opposed it. Then Waste Management made a whole series of amendments to their proposal, and as a result of those amendments, all 20 of the council's experts, which covers a wide range from ecology, land stability, landfill engineering, human health, transport erosion, sediment control, stormwater, etc. Now, look, I'm not an expert in those areas. They're the experts. They make their report independently. And in the end, the independent hearing commissioners, by a majority of 4-1, said the consent should be granted. But today is the last day for people to appeal to the Environment Court on any aspect that they believe might not have been properly done. And I'm expecting that there will be people that will appeal to the Environment Court, and that again is an independent body. It will hear, it will look at all the evidence, and it will hear the case, and it will make its own decision as well. So there's quite a lot of safeguards there, and it's not, and it shouldn't be, in the hands of politicians to make these sort of decisions.
So if we, sort of irregardless of what actually happens with this particular situation, another question that has been raised is should these kind of resources be managed by overseas companies? Because that is something that has come up often. What are your thoughts around that? Should we be making sure that this is run by a local company if it is a very much a local waste resource?
Yeah, well, look, we live in a, if you look at right across our industry and you look right across our history, we've traditionally had overseas investors come in and invest in all sorts of things, many of them critical industries like meat processing and that sort of thing. Look, my preference is if there's a New Zealand company that's competent to do it, you'd hope that they would win the tender for any of these arrangements. But I think most of the Auckland ratepayers would also say, give it to the company that comes in with the best price and the best quality proposal. Now, each one of those things is equally important. Shouldn't just be on price and can't just be on quality. It has to have the quality and it needs to have a competitive price. So I'm not sure. I mean, you know, all the people that are employed here, of course, are local people. But unless you want to start changing the law to prevent international investment in New Zealand, then a company like Waste Management is going to be able to operate here. And if we close off the international investment and we don't have people in New Zealand wanting to invest, does that make us better off? And my answer to that is no, it wouldn't.
Well, very briefly, can we just get a quick update on what's happening with the Papatoetoe situation? Since we last spoke, we're sort of moving into a new phase of recovery, I guess, for that community. What are some of the supports that the council has put in place to make sure that people are getting the most wraparound assistance that they can at the moment?
Yeah, well, look, I've been there three times now. I was there a lot of the weekend before last, as soon as it happened. And I saw the scale of the devastation and, you know, within a day it was pretty amazing how, you know, so much clean-up work had been done. Then I went there last Friday with the Prime Minister. It's pretty good. You know, nothing will bring back the life of the worker who was killed at the inland port, container port. And, you know, that's the thing that I think weighs most heavily on me about this disaster. beside that, you know, it's nothing short of a miracle that we got away in the residential area with nobody being seriously injured or fatally injured. And that is amazing when you saw the level of damage. We've had 101 people who we've housed in emergency accommodation, and we're currently, as of day before yesterday, we had 90 people with 21 groups, largely families, still being housed. We've had a lot of requests for the MSD Civil Defence Emergency Funding, over 200 of them. We've had 19 applications, I think, for the Merrill Relief Fund, which will deal with hardship. We've had the Red Cross volunteers out there. There's been a big clean-up. We've got the skips in the street. But the actual houses, there's, I think, 18 that we've red-labelled, and there's probably around, I'm just trying to remember, 60 that have been yellow-labelled, which means that mm-hmm. they've been damaged, but not so that the place is uninhabitable. So, look, I think the recovery has gone pretty well, but still feeling for the people whose lives have been disrupted. But, you know, as they said to me out in the streets on a number of occasions, we're just grateful that, you know, our family's fine. We can repair the house. You can't repair a life if you lose a life. So, bad that it happened. I think the response has been pretty effective, and I'm pretty pleased with the way our emergency services and the Auckland Emergency Management and Council have responded to it.
Well, thank you very much for your time this morning, Mayor Phil Goff. We really appreciate it. I will talk to you again next Tuesday. I hope you have a good week.
Okay, you too, Rachel. All the best. Ka kite.
Ka kite.
That was Sounding Off with Phil Goff.
Thank you.